Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We're on chapter 2 of the sixth canto. Ajamil delivered by the Vishnu Dutas. And today we are studying verse 34. Okay. Kvachaham kitava papo. No, it's just that I'm getting a little old and it's a little hard to read, so do it slowly. Brahmagnyo nirapatrapa. Kvacha nara yanet yetad Bhagavan nama mangalam. So Ajamil is continuing here, and he says, I am a shameless cheater who has killed Brahminical culture. Indeed, I am sin personified. Where am I in comparison to the all auspicious chanting of the holy name of Lord Narayana? So this is a short but very interesting purport. So I'll read it slowly, and everyone please listen to it carefully. Actually, for those who read Prabhupada's books regularly, it's kind of a famous purport. It's one of those purports that kind of sticks in your mind. Those engaged in broadcasting the holy name of Narayan, Krishna, through the Krishna consciousness movement should always consider what our position was before we came and what it is now. And here, of course, Prabhupada's being very humble. He's saying we. We should always consider. Of course, he didn't have to consider. We should always consider what our position was before we came and what it is now. We had fallen into abominable lives as meat eaters, drunkards, and women hunters who performed all kinds of sinful activities. But now, we are given the opportunity to chant the Hare Krishna mantra. Therefore, we should always appreciate this opportunity. By the grace of the Lord, we are opening many branches, and we should use this good fortune to chant the holy name of the Lord and serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead directly. We must be conscious of the difference between our present and past conditions and should always be very careful not to fall from the most exalted life. So why don't we follow Prabhupada's advice in this purport for a minute, okay? That's what we're going to do. In the first sentence, Prabhupada says that those of us who are engaged in preaching should always consider what our position was before we came and what it is now. So let's do that for a minute. So each one of us, let's think a little bit, not in details, but in generalities. What were we like before we came in contact with Srila Prabhupada's teachings? What did we used to think about? What were we like when we woke up in the morning? What were our eating habits? What was our worldview? You know, like our, what is it in Sanskrit? Chitta vritti? How did we, you know, when we went out on the streets of Mumbai, what did we see? What was our vision of the world? What did we think of spiritual life? Were we uninterested? Were we yatomatatopat? Were we Mayavadis? Right? Or were we kind of like, you know, a little bit of a Khitri, a little bit from Vivekananda, a little bit from this, a little bit from that? Right? And just kind of. Were we atheists? Did we believe in just kind of going to the temple and offering obeisances to the many devatas to get some boon or to get good grades in school? Did we have a very vague idea of Krishna? What was our level of satisfaction with our life? Did we look forward to every day? Or was it like, okay, another day? What was our goal in life? What did we want to achieve? Was it top marks? Was it to become a Kropati by 21? Was it what were the kind of friends that we had? And what were their interests? What did we talk about when we got together with them? So take 30 seconds to think about that. It's amazing how long 30 seconds can seem, isn't it? When there's silence. Okay. So now let's follow Prabhupada's second instruction in this purport. Think about today. Right? Well, maybe you're up late because of Sunday, but think about your devotional practices in general. What do you think when you wake up in the morning now? What is the difference now? What are our eating habits now? Will we eat anything that's not offered to Krishna, for example? All right? What is our worldview? After a nice, blissful morning program, nice kirtan like the one we just had, a nice class like you had yesterday. That was a great class. Huh? Radha Shambhavu knows so many shlokas. He's a real shloka slinger. So after that, when we go out on the streets of Mumbai, how do we see the world? And compare that to before we were devotees. What's our view of spirituality now? It's so defined. It's so clear by the mercy of the Bhagavatam, by the mercy of the Bhagavad Gita. What about our level of satisfaction? You know, Krishna talks a lot about satisfaction, right? Actually, when you think about like, what's that? Machchita makatapana bodhayantas pras. Isn't the word tushti there someplace? Right. And then tushti pushti shuddha, right, in the 11th canto of the Bhagavatam. The idea of satisfaction actually is a very important theme in the Shastra. So what's our level of satisfaction now compared to then? And what to speak of our goal of life? Right? Is our goal of life now a little more exalted than, you know, Kropati by 21? Or what did you like that one, right? And what about our friends? Look at the nature of the friends that we have now, what kind of people they are, their integrity, their honesty, what to speak of their interests, and compare that to our previous friends. So, and comparison is, it's a very powerful thing, right? I mean, are you thinking about now and then? Raise your hand if you see a big difference between the two. Okay. Raise your hand if there's no difference. Better put your hand down. Okay. All right, you got it right. Yes. Now there's a big difference. And Srila Prabhupada's encouraging us to keep an eye, remember this. It's almost like a devotional application of janma mrityu jara vyadhi dukha dosha nadarshanam, right? In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, and this is a general instruction for all spiritualists. The acharyas say that those shlokas, most of these statements in those two or three verses there apply both to impersonalists and to devotees, right? Devotees, we keep janma mrityu jara vyadhi also in mind. But even like on a higher level, we keep this kind of thing in mind. How fortunate I am. What a difference between then and now, right? Srila Prabhupada once got he was shown a newspaper article. It was actually a newspaper article of my Guru Maharaj's wife. She was a famous actress before she was a devotee. So it was in a newspaper, and it showed before and after. And Prabhupada said, he told Mataji, just see what Krishna has saved you from. He was pointing to the before picture. Right? So this contrast is a marked one. It's quite a powerful one, and it's something that at least from time to time we should keep in mind and appreciate. And just a little aside about contrast. Contrast, comparing this to that, is something that we see in the Shastra a lot. Can anyone think of a place, for example, there's several places in the Bhagavad Gita, or maybe you can think of in the Bhagavatam, where one verse says this, and then the other verse says the contrast. Anyone think of that? Two verses that are together in the Bhagavad Gita, perhaps? What's that now? Ah, very good. Very good, Prabhu. Ekeha Kurunandana and Bogaishraya Prashaktanam. Right? That people who are on this path are resolute, and those who aren't, many branched. Others? I was thinking of, what's that verse? Mogasya Moga Karmana Moga Jnana Vichetasa. And what's the next verse after that? Mahatmanastu Mam Partha, right? So for those who aren't devotees, it's like, what does Mogasya mean? Yeah, it's just like, right? So Mogasya Moga Karmana Moga, your hopes for enjoying material life, your hopes for knowledge, everything, finished. And then the very next verse, but Mahatmanastu Mam Partha, right? Oh, but for devotees, it's glorious. And I was also thinking of Namam Duskriti Namudha, right? The four kinds of impious people. And then the very next verse, Chatur Vidha Bhajanti Mam. So my point is that Krishna uses this technique in his preaching. And Prabhupada's using it here in the purport. It's a very powerful way to present something, is to present the darkness and the light side by side. It's a very powerful thing. So, and then what does Prabhupada say is here, interestingly, the main difference, right? If we think about before, and now we think about now in our life, did anyone hear carefully enough to remember what was Prabhupada said the difference is? Don't cheat if you have the book in front of you. Not that any of you would cheat. Anyone remember? He said the difference is that now we get the opportunity to... That's... Okay, yes, at the end of the purport. Yes, very good. Radha Gopinath was a Pakka Brahmachari. He has such a good memory. Yes, to chant the Hare Krishna mantra. The exact words he says is... But now we have been given the opportunity to chant the Hare Krishna mantra. Now, this word, because it was a short purport, I really wanted to kind of dissect some of the words that were, dissect's the wrong word, analyze some of the words that Srila Prabhupada uses. This word opportunity is an important word. The dictionary defines it as a chance for progress or advancement. And I think the word chance is important. Because it's not that just because you have an opportunity, many people don't take advantage of opportunities, isn't it? Right? I mean, there's just so many examples, both in the material world and both in You know, the people who met Srila Prabhupada and just didn't take advantage of the lessons that he imparted. So it's an opportunity to chant the Hare Krishna mantra. And opportunity, again, it indicates we can choose to take it or choose not to take it. And I think one of the keys to taking advantage of an opportunity, the next step after the opportunity itself, is appreciation. And Prabhupada uses that word here. Therefore, the next sentence, therefore, we should always appreciate the opportunity. Right? How many people have gotten, you know, a book from us, and we used to sometimes, at the end of the day when we were distributing books in the airport, we'd go to the garbage bin and pick up, you know, the Bhagavatams that were there. Opportunity lost. Maybe it was our fault as book distributors, maybe it was theirs, but somehow or other, they didn't appreciate the opportunity that they were given. So then the question is, how do we appreciate that opportunity? How do we go from opportunity to appreciation? There's something after appreciation. We'll come to that in a minute. Okay. So I was thinking it's not just, it has to go beyond the mind. Like, if the mind is, what is it, para avara, right? Sometimes it's transcendental, sometimes it's very mundane, right? Sometimes it's sankalpa, vikalpa, right? It's flickering. We don't, what is it, dushta mana? We don't want to trust this mind. So our appreciation has to go beyond just kind of a mental appreciation. Oh yes, now I can avoid birth, death, disease, and old age. Now I'm a devotee, you know, right? And it even has to go beyond, I would suggest, the intelligence. Because the intelligence, as Prabhupada writes in the second chapter of the Gita, it can also be diverted. We have to experience Krishna consciousness. We have to actually, you know, taste. What was it in the introduction to George Harrison's introduction to the Krishna book? Right, that the proof of you have to open up the jar of honey and taste it. We're enjoyers by nature. Right? So we have to, you know, I don't know if we want to use the word enjoy Krishna consciousness, but we have to experience Krishna consciousness. Like, again, it was so nice to watch the devotees in the kirtan just now, especially our Gauranga Priya Prabhu. I was afraid he was going to hit the chandelier. You know, he's dancing so high. That's beyond the mind. That's beyond the intelligence. That's actually tasting Krishna consciousness. So really experiencing the kirtans, experiencing, you know, the Bhagavatam, which in so many places it says is non-different from Krishna. Experiencing the beauty of the deities. Experiencing the joy of Vaishnava Sangha. Then that's taking advantage and that of the opportunity. And from that comes appreciation. And it's amazing, isn't it, what we'll do when we get that taste. We'll shave our heads. We'll put on saffron clothing. We'll upset our parents. I was talking to so many of the brahmacharis and the different... what's that devotee's name? Bhakta, who was serving me prasadam last night? Murgesh, yes. And asking him about his parents. And almost everybody's, oh, my parents are not very happy. At least in the beginning, right? Sometimes when I think, I still can't understand how I was going to university, I was getting good grades, I was supposed to go to law school because everyone in my family was a lawyer. And how I just, and I was very, my parents were divorced, so my mother was very much dependent on her son. And I just called her one day and said, I'm moving in the Brahmacharya Ashram, Haribol. You know, I still can't believe, after 30 years, I still can't believe I did that. Right? But we do, you know, when we experience Krishna consciousness, when we appreciate it, as Prabhupada's talking about here, it's such a powerful, life-changing experience. Not that everyone here has to, I mean, you know, for those of us who are not in the Brahmacharya, you know, we're married. It's not that you have to give all that up and move in the ashram. But I mean, but my point is, it's such a powerful thing when we really appreciate and experience Krishna consciousness. Now, From appreciation, the next step, and Prabhupada hints at it here, although he doesn't actually use the word, is gratitude. When we really appreciate the gift that our spiritual master, that Srila Prabhupada, the Lord, has given us, any proper person will experience a deep sense of gratitude. Gratitude's a big theme in the Shastra. When Mother Bhumi was speaking to the bull, Dharma, in the first canto of the Bhagavatam, she mentions the word knowledge. And in the purport, Prabhupada says, knowledge is to be grateful. And then Narada Muni, after the voice, the unembodied voice of the Lord instructing him, when it became silent, right? Prabhupada, the translation is that supreme authority personified by sound and unseen by eyes, but most wonderful, stopped speaking. Feeling a sense of gratitude, I offered my obeisances unto him, bowing my head. So Narada Muni had this deep sense of gratitude after the Lord had spoken to him in this way. The four Kumaras, after they had experienced the scent of the Tulsi and became devotees, they expressed great gratitude to the Lord for dispelling their impersonal understandings and bringing them to the personal feature of the Lord. Sometimes Srila Prabhupada translates the word dakshina as gratitude. Right? And all of us are meant to offer guru dakshina and be in that mood of service eternally to the Lord. To the spiritual master. The peacocks. So we're going all the way from, all the way up to the top. Are there peacocks on the altar today? Yeah? Okay. Like I said, my eyes are pretty bad. The peacocks in Vrindavan, they offer their feathers to the Lord out of gratitude for him playing his flute and them being able to dance to that flute playing. Then Krishna himself, well, of course, in many of Prabhupada's purports, Srila Prabhupada talks about how the Lord feels indebted to the devotee. And in the Krishna book, the 85th chapter, Krishna is expressing his gratitude to his father for offering him such good instructions. So even the Lord himself feels gratitude. And this gratitude is not just, it's actually, you almost could say it's at one of the very roots of our being a devotee. There's a saying that blessed are those who can give without remembering, and receive without forgetting. And even though it was a Christian saying, but it seems to apply very nicely to us, right? When we give, sometimes we say that one of the best ways to give in charity or to give a donation is anonymously, or to render service is to render it in such a way that no one knows you're doing it. There's a good example in our history. Does anyone remember? I mean, there's probably several, but one that I think we talk about a lot. Anyone? Was it Narottam Das Thakur? Right? And Lokanath Swami, right? Right? That he would clean up after his, in order to get the mercy. But he did it in such a way, you would think, well, if he wants to get initiated, he would say, it was me, I did it, But he did it in such a way that no one ever knew. So that's actually a very Krishna conscious thing to do, to give without remembering, oh, I was the one who donated for that, such and such. And to receive without forgetting. to receive. That's gratitude. And then I was thinking that gratitude, we could say in a certain way that this verse, which Prabhupada says, is the guide for all devotees. Does anyone know Nectar Devotion, chapter 10? Prabhupada says one verse in the Bhagavatam out of 18,000 should be the guide for all devotees. Anyone know that verse? Somebody said something, I can't see or hear them. Yes. Could you say it nice and loudly? Right. So Prabhupada says that this should be the guide for all devotees. It's page 91 if you ever want to look at it in Nectar Devotion. Prabhupada writes in that whenever a devotee is in distress, this verse explains that whenever a devotee is in distress or has fallen into difficulty, he thinks it's the Lord's mercy upon him. So what kind of gratitude is that? That is very deep. Right? It's not just gratitude when everything's going nicely. Right? But even when things aren't going seemingly so nicely, one thanks the Lord because it could have been a lot worse. Right? But Krishna has been so kind, he's minimized it. And so therefore a devotee, when something goes wrong, he thanks the Lord. When something goes right, he thanks the Lord. And a non-devotee, when something goes wrong, he blames the Lord. And when something goes right, he thanks himself. So therefore you can see how this verse, it cuts right at the root of our existence in the material world, our envy of Krishna. It cuts right at the... That's why it's the guide for all devotees. It goes right to the cause. Right into the heart. And therefore, jivetiyo mukti padesatayaba. That if we can adopt this attitude, our future is already guaranteed. So this point about gratitude, that's a very grateful person. Is something that's very important. And then what is the result of gratitude? So we've gone from, what was the first thing? I have such a bad memory. It was before appreciation was opportunity. Opportunity, appreciation, gratitude, and then that should lead to action. You don't just say, I'm very grateful. Horrible. And you don't do anything about it, right? As Prabhupada mentions here, that we should be very careful not to fall from this most exalted life. And Prabhupada once wrote to Rameshwar Prabhu that if you feel at all indebted to me, then you should preach vigorously like me. This is the proper way to repay me. Of course, no one can repay the debt to the spiritual master. But the spiritual master is very pleased by such an attitude by the disciple. So this appreciation, gratitude should lead to very seriously, as devotees do here, taking advantage of the Hare Krishna mantra. One little advice that was given to me recently, I heard on a lecture on, what was it called? The Mind and the Holy Name. And it was being said there that if you have trouble being attentive sometimes, just take it one mantra at a time. Because the mind sometimes has 16 rounds of attentive chanting. That's a little too much. But if you just tell the mind, no, that's okay. Forget about 16 rounds. Just the next mantra. And then just the next one after that. Just the next one. Just take it. But anyway, whatever, however we find a way, but to take the chanting of the holy name very seriously, and as Prabhupada says here, to really show our indebtedness by helping other people take advantage of the chanting of the holy name. And then finally, we could just discuss briefly, now what are the challenges to developing, or I don't think we have to develop appreciation and gratitude, but maybe for us, we have to maintain it, or even increase it. And what are the challenges to that? Well, here's an interesting one from the Bhagavatam. The unborn child prays, "My dear Lord, by your causeless mercy, I am awakened to consciousness, although I am only 10 months old. For this causeless mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the friend of all fallen souls. There is no way to express my gratitude but to pray with folded hands. So the unborn child is praying so sincerely with gratitude. And then what does the Shastra say about four verses later? What happens after he comes out of the womb? Oh. What was that? We forget. So here's an example. Someone's so sincere. So it's Maya is very strong, right? It can happen. We can be so grateful 1 minute, and we can lose that gratitude. We can become forgetful, right? Srila Baladeva Vidyabhusan, he comments on that verse that we quoted before, Chatur Vidha Bhajante Mam Jana Sukriti Nortuna Arto Jigyasa Artarti. He says that the desire of wealth and the distressed person, if they don't make advancement, once Krishna fulfills their desires and they get that wealth or the distress goes away, then they say Haribol, never going to come back to the temple again. Maybe that's modern expression. But if they don't at least become jigyasur, they don't become inquisitive, then they fall away. So that's another. And also we have this, you know, English saying, familiarity breeds contempt. Right? So, we've chanted so many rounds. We've gone to so many Mangalartis. Right? So that attitude is also something to avoid. And I was going to just read one last thing about ungrateful, because then we become ungrateful. And this is something Srila Prabhupada wrote about ungratefulness. Ungrateful persons are those who do not understand, how much benefit they are deriving by the arrangement of the Lord. This is not Prabhupada, this is a saying. They enjoy the sunshine and the moonshine, this is Prabhupada. They enjoy the sunshine and the moonshine, and they get water free of charge. That yet they do not feel grateful, but simply go on enjoying these gifts of the Lord. Therefore, they must be called thieves and rogues. So as Prabhupada says here, we've been given the most exalted life. In a letter he wrote that devotees are better than the greatest king, every one of them. So we've been given the most exalted life. So let's be careful and maintain our gratefulness eternally to Srila Prabhupada and the Parampara. Hare Krishna. Any questions, comments, arguments, corrections? Are you raising your hand or are you scratching your ear? Well, that means either it was really boring or it was so convincing. I fear the former and hope for the latter. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.